Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Amy Grant.
John John, he's the fastest man in the universe with his hands on the keyboard. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Hey, Dave.
Hey. I didn't even know you were there, John.
Oh, snuck up on you.
You did. You always do. What would you say is your best life hack?
Probably never trust the king of the jungle.
This feels so much like a setup, but I have to ask why.
Ask me.
Why?
Are you asking me right now?
Yeah, but why?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Because he's always lying.
Look at you. I knew you had something up your sleeve. I'll keep that in mind. You know why, John? Because I'm always looking for life hacks. Some people call me a hacker. And that's just the way that I live. But what does hurt a little bit is that you didn't ask me what my best life hack is.
Oh, right. Well, I was getting ready to.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know.
What's your best life hack?
AG1 by Athletic Greens.
See, I didn't have to ask because I knew that's what it was.
It just makes you athletic by drinking it.
Yeah, that's what the lion said.
Hey,
come on.
Don't do that. I take AG1 in the morning and it makes me feel unstoppable.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get this. Okay. Buckle up. The all-in-one formula makes it so easy to cover your nutritional bases every day. So you don't have to keep up with taking multiple supplements and vitamins. You just put one scoop into cold water and you're good to go. Cute.
Okay, wait. So you're saying that I don't need one of those like pill boxes with the day labels to keep up with everything that I need to stay healthy,
John?
Because some of those boxes are fun.
Is this 1983? I mean, I don't think so.
I mean, talk about a hack.
I know. Every scoop is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality. They give you major benefits like gut mood support and boosted energy.
Yeah, but I bet it takes too long to get all that healthy stuff into your system, okay?
Nope, it's the healthiest thing you can do in under a minute,
Under
John?
A minute!
Yes.
Okay, so what you're saying is you can actually become the king of the jungle if you drink Athletic Greens. That's what I'm hearing.
No.
What?
John, you've known this. I don't do jungles, okay? Things get weird with the monkeys.
Right.
But if I did do jungles, AG1 would deliver it to me there and every month. They will do that, John. They will find you if you're in the jungles of Zanzibar. Is that a place? Or the concrete jungle of New York City,
John. I see what you did there.
And it's so easy to make it a daily habit. And I also get the single serving travel pack, so I never have to miss a day. I just mix the powder into ice cold water and drink it first each and every morning. That's it.
Look, Dave, I'm sold.
Call you John Michael Montgomery because you are sold, John. That's another reference just to country music there. Tell the people what they win, John.
All right. Look, if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, you want to throw that daily calendar pill box out, Athletic Greens is giving you a free, F-R-E-E, 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your purchase.
Yes,
just go to athleticgreens.com/dadville.
That's athleticgreens.com/dadville.
Check it out. All right, we're ready. Are you ready?
I did stretches outside.
Good.
I did wind sprints in the... I'm sad to see that y'all's thing went away. The golf...
It got moldy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's sad. Events like that, little death.
No, you know what? He hardly was ever out there. He'd rather just go play on a golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we? So I had already, speaking of dying deaths, I had already died to me asking this. I had it on the very bottom under dumb questions. I actually have it labeled dumb questions. But I just used your restroom over here, which is, Dave, you have to use that restroom.
Oh, I was
it
in
is
there.
Full
velvet,
of,
the velvet room?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Full of
velvet?
Golf stuff.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, what is it? Anytime I meet somebody who is married and also golfs, I'm always like, all right, well, that's a third spouse. So how do you navigate all that?
I got to know Vince playing golf.
Oh.
So it was already there. You knew what you were getting into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I quit playing golf when I had a baby at 40 because I know you have to play a lot to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he's played since he was a child.
Yeah.
And so he can, like, not play for months,
yeah.
And he's still going to
And for those who don't know, he is like, he's in the Tennessee Golf of Hall of Fame.
Is he?
Yes. I mean, again, according to Wikipedia, but you also sang background vocals for Bill Gaither, according to Wikipedia. So
listen,
who knows?
Listen.
Yeah. Yeah, Vince,
but he's a very good golfer.
And he's raised a lot of money for junior golf.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so,
is the course here named after him? What are they called? The Vinnies?
There's a little over off of Franklin Road.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
A teaching facility, and there's an area. I don't know if it's a putting green or a little 3-hole course. But
yeah, I think it's.
It's named after him.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, there's a letter from Elton John, congratulating him on his golf game.
Wow.
In the bathroom.
Oh, in there?
Yeah. And he's like, just don't forget about your day job.
What a weird... That's such a weird...
I stole it. It's in my backpack already.
What a weird... like,
I know, there's so many worlds.
Music, but then it's
like,
about golf.
Like, is Elton keeping an eye on the golf world?
Worlds collide.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he owns a soccer club. Or doesn't own it. He's like a big part of a soccer team over. And yeah, like they have the name of the stands are named the Elton John stands where people sit at Watford.
Ironically, that's where they sit.
God, you are on today. We should start. Okay.
It's the coffee.
So if you guys are listening right now, you have already spotted the dulcet tones of Miss Amy Grant. You know them the minute she started talking, you felt peace. You felt a sense of relaxation that everything was going to be okay. So Amy, when we start our Dadville episodes, we read what we call the brag sheet, and I think yours may be the longest one we've ever done.
Oh, yes, can we read the whole thing?
No, please don't. Please don't read it.
Well, I mean, I should have warned you.
We've never just had a straight up request
somebody
to not
be like,
read.
Don't do it.
Please don't.
John, for a while, wanted to have people read their own, which I was such a fan of.
We're going
of,
to do that
watching,
someday.
Watching
we're gonna, we'll do it to Vince when he comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, when Vince does ours. okay, then you know what? I'm going to do the abbreviated version, which is still really long, but watch me move and watch me shake. Here we go. I'm going to pick them as I go. Signed her first record deal at 15. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I kind of feel like I'm nervous. Well, no, these were vetted. These were a bit. Okay. Sold over 30 million albums. Congratulations on that. Best-selling contemporary Christian artist of all time.
Released,
I love this, 22 studio albums, 5 Christmas albums, 4 live albums. I bet you didn't know that, did you?
Some things are news to me these days. Through no fault of my own.
through no fault. Touché. 17 albums reached number 1 on Billboard Christian Albums chart. Let me see. I'm going to have to be specific because I don't want you to leave and be mad at me. Oh, this is a good one. Her first number one single was The Next Time I Fall with Peter Cetera, which is that one of the greatest songs of all time?
Yeah.
Oh, I can still see the video, Amy. I was Peter. We were singing together. It was beautiful. And someday it's going to happen. I don't know if you know that. We're not going to do that. That would take too long. Who wrote
Let's focus.
Who wrote that song? Was that David Foster? Was that David Foster?
You'll have to just...
It's somebody. Okay. She's like, it was somebody.
We can confirm that.
We can confirm that it was somebody.
I'll sign off on
it's
that.
Starting to go. You're already like, why did I say yes to this? Okay. Heart in Motion is the best-selling Christian album of all time. Over 6 million copies. Written 3 books. I love this. Amy Grant's Here to Heart Bible Stories. Breath of Heaven, Mary's Song, and Mosaic Pieces of My Life so far.
That's really a stretch. 3 books. I wrote 1 collection of essays. Somebody is really just trying to make something out of everything.
That's really a stretch. Okay. Okay. I have to read these, and I'm sorry. But here's the award
just hit
section.
These,
I'm
going
to go
hit all these real quick.
Deep breath. Award section. 1 ASCAP Voice of America. 1 Nashville Symphony Harmony Awards. U.S. Junior Chamber Young Tennessean of the Year. 22 Dove Awards, 6 Grammys, Mini Pearl Humanitarian Award, which that's super cool. Mm-hmm. Academy of Achievement Golden Plate Award, which sounds like something I want at a restaurant. Easter Seals Nashvilleian of the Year, and inducted into the GMA Gospel Music Hall of Fame, and inducted into the Christian Music Hall of Fame. And this one is the most recent, I think, unless you've won something since then, since you may have, but received a Kennedy Center Honor, which is so cool.
That was a lot of fun.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, what is that like?
It was a whirlwind 48 hours.
Just 48. So it's quick.
Yes. So I did a show with Michael Smith on, I guess, Friday night. And then we flew to New York. So got there in the wee hours. I think I was asleep maybe by 5 a.m.
Wow.
And then had to get up and go to a luncheon. But it was five events in 2 days.
Wow, jeez. Five events.
Yes, and it was so much fun. They call it the class of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Was so interesting and so diverse. And
who were some of the other people that you were with?
Buckle up.
Tanya Leon is a composer and is involved with dance. And I knew the least about her.
Mm-hmm.
It's so compelling. And then Gladys Knight.
Wow.
Yeah. Voice of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
George Clooney. And
I've heard of him.
And you too.
Oh my gosh.
And so, so we would show up at a function and they'd say, we need you in about 20 minutes. You guys just all are in this holding tank.
Just to hang out.
Yes. One of my
favorite
stories.
And you just don't even want the event to start. You're just hanging.
Well, the very first event, I go into this room. Everything's, beautifully appointed.
Yeah.
And I said, now what are we doing in here? We're just waiting until you walk the red carpet into the lunch here at this alternate facility at the Kennedy Center. And I said, okay. And does it matter where we go? And they said, Gladys Knight is just sitting over there next to the window and with a crowd of people. And I thought, well, she's got an empty spot right next to her. So I went and sat down next to her. And I guess a friend of hers was there. And then a gentleman that I guess was her husband. And I said, oh, well, tell me how you met. And he mentioned I don't know if it was in Reno or in Las Vegas, but he was part of the management of a facility, but started in that facility as the person that owned the jewelry store. And she had gone to the jewelry store with her fiance to create an engagement ring. And I looked at her and she's with him and he was the jeweler. And so I did that. And then I saw her about 18 months later and he said, how's the marriage? And she said, that didn't work out. And he said, well, that's because you married the wrong man.
No way.
And I said, and then? And he said, we've been together ever since.
Wow.
And they've been together over 20 years. And I mean,
wow.
The kind of conversations you can have with people when everybody's guard is way down.
Yeah.
Everybody's like rubbing their eyes going, am I awake or asleep? How did I wind up this circle?
Yeah. Right.
And just so many people have overlapping stories that you're not even aware of.
Yeah.
And
that is so cool. I was looking at your body language as Dave was reading the brag sheet, and it's discomfort, 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 as everyone is. And then when he got to the Kennedy one, your whole position changed.
Oh.
You sort of like lit up a little bit.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
To John's point, like how do you, this is what we ask everybody, how do you feel hearing those things? Like when I read the things that, Amy Grant, this is your life, fly. Yeah. Like,
we read 20% of what we actually have.
But how do you feel? Like what is it like to hear all those things you've been able to accomplish?
Well, a lot of that list is from the first half of my life.
Hmm.
And so, I go, yeah, that was a part of my life, but it wasn't how I woke up in the morning feeling. It didn't affect how I went to sleep at night, and a lot of it feels like history now to me and who I feel today. I mean, that was part of my life, but if things started right now today, I just don't know that it would have played out the same.
Hmm.
The world's a different place. Music's a different place.
Wow.
Things happen the way they happen because of time and place and opportunity and all that. But I just go, it could have happened a million ways.
It's so interesting too, because I mean, you, as we read in that thing, you were, to your point about just sort of that weird, things coming together all at the same time. I mean, you were at that specific time where, CCM was just beginning, if barely had begun. And then here you come, singer-songwriter, and it just is so many things at the right time. Your talent, your personality, where the industry was, it kind of needed some, you know, like as you're starting something like that, mm-hmm. you need people that can help promote the thing. And you step in and it's like, oh, this is great. She's super talented. She's kind. She's people mm-hmm. like her. And then it's before you know it, you know, and that's what's crazy to think about with music these days is, you know, it's not as popular music is not that old, you know. And so you so many people that were such a big part of the beginnings of things are still like alive and well. And so it's crazy to think about yeah. that, you know,
yeah.
to your point, because it's like if people are starting now, even those 30, 40 years later, it's such a different thing in such a small amount of time. But right. you were at the very beginning of that thing.
I was not at the very, very
that's
beginning.
That's right. That's right.
But it's interesting because I would also, I'm reading Bono's book, Surrender, mm-hmm. right now, uh-huh. or I'm listening to it. And I feel similarly about some things
yeah.
that he does. Like I go, oh, that wiring feels familiar. Oh, that he must have always had a journal.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 yeah.
Because
yeah.
his memory is mm-hmm. unbelievable. But the fact that he knew what he wanted to do so young,
yeah.
and just that whole driven nature of it, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. Hmm. And as it turned out, through a crazy set of circumstances, I just happened to do something I liked that I was averagely good at. But I was surrounded by a group of people that when opportunity came my way, hmm. I was suddenly surrounded
hmm.
by an incredibly gifted group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so at every turn, it came at sort of out of community.
Wow.
And so the good side of that is everything always felt like a team effort.
Mm.
And kind of the interesting side of that is that I never experienced an aspiration to do anything that I've wound up doing.
Wow.
Interesting.
And so, yeah.
That is fascinating.
Do you think that has helped you be able to just enjoy everything more?
I think it makes me weigh things in my own, like what matters to me, different than people might anticipate.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But like when I was in college, the two men that managed me also managed another artist, female. And they were talking about some experience that she would call them routinely.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? What's going on? And I was getting ready to leave on a tour. And I'll never forget, they said, I don't know what is it about you, what it is about how you're wired, but when it's time to put you in the hot air balloon, there are claw marks from your fingernails and your toenails all the way to the hot air balloon.
Yeah.
We put you in the basket and we're cutting the ropes going, you're going to be okay.
Hmm.
And I really felt that reading Bono's book to yeah. say, as weird as it sounds, I never sang in a brush looking in the mirror
uh-huh.
if I'd never done anything, but I wanted a coffee shop gig. That's mm. where I fell in love with Jesus music was a coffee shop
yeah,
gig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I always wanted that. But the fact that anything else happened was as big a surprise to me as it was to anybody else.
Yeah. That is crazy.
They're always better singers, always better yeah, songwriters, yeah, yeah, always right, better yeah, musicians.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
But it was really, it was interesting because this last fall was the quietest fall of my life. Mm. I was recovering from a bike accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, scary.
But I was writing, like writing to remember because I took a pretty good bash to the head. And as I was writing about my life, just going, by the time I graduated high school, my first record had come out. Mm-hmm. I traveled with my mom. Mm. To do like PR stuff. And I played a couple places. Nobody showed up, like not one person.
Mm-hmm.
But all 4 years of college, I made a record while I was in school full time and toured.
Jeez Louise.
Yes, all 4 years. And then by the time I graduated, there were already so many people around me whose livelihood depended on my
right.
work.
Yeah.
It was never a question of what I would do. I loved what I was doing, and I loved that community. But I have never been completely alone in my own life to figure it out.
Jeez.
Until the fall of 2022 is what it felt like.
That's wow. crazy.
Going, yeah, not alone in my own life, but all of a sudden circumstances saying, I don't know if my brain's ever going to work the way it did before.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what, and just to look back over decades of so much I don't even know how to say it. It was all beautiful. Mm. And but in my mind, it was like it could have looked totally different. Mm-hmm. And I would have been just same person in a different set of circumstances.
Yeah.
It's crazy to hear that, though, because you are such a great singer and songwriter. I mean, I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here, but it's so true. I mean, you are a phenomenal talent at both those things. So it's interesting to hear, you know, you say that, because I think, how could somebody that's so good at something feel so, in such a wonderful way, so free of the weight of it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm. Like, but it also, I mean, it sounds just healthy.
Yeah.
It sounds like you didn't need anything from it.
Like, what
you
is that? Oh, it's health. That's what that is. Interesting.
You see it every now and then.
There's a little. There's
not often in this business, though.
I was going to say.
But it sounds like you didn't, you know, I suppose you can have a career as long as you have had by sheer ambition and a need to fill something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or, which that might be more the norm, I suppose, but it sounds like you've had your career out of just abundance, you know. You didn't need anything from it.
Yeah, that's a great way to put that.
I don't know how.
You're talking to me or?
Sorry, I was Amy, talking
okay, yeah,
just
you,
to
I'm
Amy
so
there.
I'm so excited that was towards me,
no.
I see now that it wasn't.
We recorded it, so you can play it back later to yourself.
Good, let's take that as mine.
Okay, I have a question that I was telling Dave beforehand, and obviously anything that we ask, you can answer to the extent you want to or not, but I said I wouldn't mind if we spent 30 minutes on this, because I just find it so fascinating. We're all artists, but I've never been in the Christian space. I've never been a Christian artist, and so I'm always so fascinated with the guests that we have had on who are in officially, publicly in the Christian space, because I think there's just another set of expectations and rules that go along with that. And I was reading, I mean, Wikipedia is 0-2 so far, so we'll see how this goes here. But I read today about your Lead Me On record was controversial because it was seen by many as being not Christian enough, right? And then years down the road, then CCM Magazine dubs it as, what did they say? The greatest contemporary Christian album of all time. And I was thinking that's a great just like micro example of, I'm sure, what I would have to expect that you experienced being such a massive success in the Christian space. And like Dave was saying, like, this is early on. So the CCM world is like, this is our girl, the queen of Christian music. And then you go and have this massive crossover success in the mainstream world and get all the backlash that comes with that. I'm just curious what your experience was like with that during that time. And now sort of that, you know, those years are behind us all. And the controversy is not there anymore, and you're Amy Grant, and no one is, you know, saying the things that they were saying in the 90s about you not being Christian enough, et cetera, et cetera. What has all of that been like, if you can sum it up in the next 2.5 hours?
Right. Well, the first thing that hits me is I've never had a curiosity about what other people are saying. Mm-hmm. And so,
how are you so healthy, Amy?
But I never read a rag magazine. Wow. I've never looked up my name on social mm-hmm. media to mm-hmm. see what's said. And if whenever there is something that comes up, and you know somebody go, "Hey, are you okay?" I go, whatever it is, it's not on my radar.
Yeah, you don't want to know about it.
And so it's not that I don't want to know. I just don't have a natural curiosity about that. And so, so I don't think that's an attribute. I think it's just the way I'm wired.
Yeah.
And so, but it's the same thing that, I don't know. I mean, we're all so unique. We all see life through such a unique lens, and it's the lens of the family into which we were born. Mm. All those dynamics are unique to that family that we were each born into, our place in the family. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, I was the youngest of four girls, and I was born into a family that was steeped in church generationally. Mm-hmm. And the earliest songs I remember were singing hymns. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I see everything through a lens of scripture. Mm-hmm. And it's just because that's the lens through which I saw the world, by two very beautiful, gentle parents. Mm-hmm. And then, and in addition to that, what's interesting to me is that like how we live our lives is a dynamic experience. And so one day you can make a lot of good choices, one day you can make a lot of bad choices. And some days you can do back and forth, you know, over and over again. You can treat one person very nicely, you can treat somebody else short-tempered, you can, you know, I mean, life is dynamic. People are dynamic. And I think I have never seen myself, like if I'm sitting next to somebody on a airplane and they say, what do you do? I say, well, I've done a lot of things. I actually love writing music and I'm a singer-songwriter. But I have never led with, because I don't believe, my experience is not that we put on a jersey and that that's our team.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, because there are times we would make our team very proud and there are times that we would like get booed off the ball court.
Right.
And so, yeah. And so, and I look at life that way. I look at myself that way. I look at creative projects that way. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And so being the representative of one field or, you know, I feel like nothing else in life is that way. I do think we say, I'm shaped by what I believe. But I even think how we process what we believe changes with time and changes with experience.
For sure.
And so all of that makes me kind of, I kind of hold things loosely.
Johnny
Day.
Listen, I'm not done.
I'm sorry. Dave. I wanted to go up.
Okay, that is the end.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, that was like you had a reprise. Listen, I know you're one of the most calm, collected, jovial guys I know.
Thank you.
You just have a little bit of a furrowed brow today, and I just want to make sure it's okay. Everything, are you okay?
It's fine. I'm just a little, if I'm honest, I'm a little hangry.
Oh.
You know?
You know what? It sounds like you need a little snacky snack.
Well, let me tell you, Dave.
Dave.
You know what can turn any guy into a snack?
Hey, let's see what you did there.
Let me tell you, Manscaped.
Say it.
Say it again.
Talk to
Manscaped. And we've got to talk about the ultimate Father's Day MVP, the Performance Package 4.0. You thought I was going to say 2.0. I doubled it.
No, no, no. I'm about to talk to him about it. That's right, because Father's Day is coming. And that Performance Package 4.0 is legit. How legit is it?
Too legit.
Thank you to Quit. It's got Manscaped signature lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, brand new Weed Whacker 2.0 ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver deodorant. Don't tell me to stop.
Don't.
Crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all them goodies.
And we can't forget about their moneymaker.
Okay.
Manscaped has absolutely changed the game with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro kit for fathers all around the world. It is the Beard Hedger trimmer, beard shampoo and conditioner, beard oil, beard balm. You need so much stuff to have a beard. First off, you have to have a beard. Then you get all this stuff and Manscaped will give it to you. And two free gifts with their signature beard comb and scissors.
Well, you know, I don't want to brag, but you can see from my really lush beard that it's done a real number.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can tell. Look, we all know dads love their comfort, right?
Yep.
First and foremost. If his grooming routine is already dialed, make sure to hook him up with Manscaped Boxers 2.0.
Ooh.
So comfy.
Yep.
These are without a doubt the best boxers for men of all ages.
Hey, and you can just let those boxers breathe, okay?
Let them breathe.
It's like when Mike Tyson would take a little break. Boxers gonna breathe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can mow the lawn, take out the trash, golf in the sun, golf in the rain. Those moisture-wicking boxers just breathe without breaking a sweat. It doesn't matter.
The Tyson thing, that got me. I had to think about it for a second. Listen, people, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DADVILLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off. You heard me right.
Yeah, don't. Yep.
With free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code DADVILLE. Make this Father's Day one he will not forget with Manscaped. Dave.
Dan.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You hit that right on the... Let's do it one more time. Dave. Oh, you went different note.
Well, I want to do mine.
And a different name.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Listen, let's focus.
Okay.
I got to say, man, I think this episode's going really well. I wanted to check in with you. What do you think?
1,000%. I felt strong at the start. We'll say towards halftime, I felt like I needed just a little bit of break, just a breather. You know, right there.
Well, it reminds me of the feeling that I get like at around 11 a.m.
Yeah, I feel that.
You know, it's not quite breakfast, but it's not quite lunch. It's a paradox sometimes. Like, what should I do dietarily? You know what I mean?
You've been eating healthy and are trying not to nom down on a donut, which is hard. That's a real pull.
Hard.
But you have that so stinking famished feeling.
Yep.
If that's you, John, is it?
It is me right
now. You need to try nuts.com.
Oh, nuts.com.
Yes.
It's your one-stop shop for freshly roasted nuts, dried fruits, sweets, pantry staples like specialty flours, and more. The wide selection means there is something for everyone.
Dare I say, and please don't get mad at me for saying this.
I dare you to say it.
Are there too many choices, John?
That's my one complaint.
I take it back immediately. There's not. I love them all. Just this morning, I took a handful of dried apricots, and it got me through some stomach grumbles.
Mmm, stomach grumbles are the worst.
Yep.
What's that, Dave? You're gluten-free? No problem. Nuts.com has organic choices and other diet-friendly products. So whether you're looking for something sweet, savory, or need to stock up on everyday cooking essentials, you're bound to find something to try.
I actually actively look for more gluten in my diet. That's me. I live on the edge, John, and people are going to say, don't do it. And that's what makes me want to do it.
That's what makes you want
to do it. Do they have super gluten snacks, John?
Well, let's just say yes. And check it out later. Well, actually, look at this. They have all types of Asian and Indian snacks, too. How do you feel about hot banana chips?
First of all, that was my nickname in middle school, and I don't want to tell the backstory. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when I can't sleep, I rub some of those in my gums.
Oh, good tip.
Just something to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can snack with satisfaction, knowing that quality is a top priority at nuts.com. They roast their nuts and pop their corn the same day it ships, John.
That's
people
crazy.
Are going to tell you that's impossible, but I want you to hear it. Someone who's not an aficionado but could be, it is possible.
You could be.
So they reach you deliciously fresh. Since 1929, they've been doing it the old-fashioned way. One taste, and you'll know the difference.
Right now, people, nuts.com is offering new customers a free gift with your purchase and free shipping on orders of $29 or more at nuts.com/dadville.
So everybody, go check out all the delicious options at nuts.com/dadville. You'll receive a free gift and free shipping when you spend $29 or more.
That's nuts.com/dadville.
So good a deal, it's gotta be nuts. I would be the first attendee of this course, just the Amy Grant School of Life and Music.
School of Health.
Just... I mean, it's like John said, I just don't know anybody that is as healthy as you are that does what we do. I really mean that.
Yeah.
Like, of anybody I think I've ever met, you seem to hold it so healthfully. Like, I feel like there's just not this, you know, it doesn't feel like the strings are attached, you know, from your ego to your occupation. It's a really fascinating thing to watch.
Well, if we weren't recording this, I would tell you about some chapters in my life.
Yeah.
That, and all I can say is at there, I mean, as people, I think with time we have had more of the rough edges knocked off. Kind of like a young couple that said, I want a relationship like my grandparents, they're so in love. And you go, well, good God, they've been in the rock tumbler for 50 years. They've just bounced every rough edge. They almost killed each other.
Yeah, that's right.
She strangled him with a necktie one time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to maybe to look at me at 62. I enjoy different stretches of my life. I made decisions that I don't know why I made. I have been good in relationships, not good in relationships. I've been appropriate. I've been inappropriate. I've done good jobs. I've done awful jobs. You know, it's like, I mean, that's life.
Yeah, just like every other
that is just
human
life,
being.
Yes.
You just have the spotlight on you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, there are times in my life I walked on stage and I just thought, if anybody could see my inner monologue or see my whole life, this is a mess.
Yeah.
Especially when you're young.
Mm.
God, when you're young, you're just trying to figure everything out.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting because now I have grown kids and I never can go, God, what was I doing when I was your age right now? Because I was on such a strange timetable.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But what I do think is if life were four quarters, 20 years each.
Wow.
If it were, for most people, the first quarter, you're pretty much being told what to do.
Yeah.
And it's not till the second quarter that you're like, oh, yeah, here's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do what I want to do. It's very grasping. It's very me-centered.
Yeah.
That's just second quarter. Third quarter, a little more wisdom, just as much vitality. And you go, ooh, okay, what's unsustainable?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
From second quarter.
Hmm.
And then, but you can do it. You can redo a lot of things. You can reload that. Your family, you can have another child in third quarter. Mm. You can do a lot of things. You can try to right the wrongs. Third quarter, it's like the blinders that kept you so focused on your own life in the second quarter.
Yeah.
You really see the world more as a whole.
Yeah.
And you become aware of just mankind. And fourth quarter, it's like, okay, really? I mean, my mother-in-law is having a really long fourth quarter. She's 97, still lives in her own house.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. And I'm in my fourth quarter, and I'm 62. And I was having dinner with my kids last night, and I said, there is no way that you can see life from my perspective.
Mm.
And you're second quarter, and you're right on time. But what I'm thinking about right now is finishing strong. Mm. What small trajectory changes do I want to do? You're so aware of your resources, time, energy, all that. And so that world that might have gotten really big, especially third quarter, you kind of go, okay, what really matters? Mm. And I'm going to dial some things back so that I am really doing what matters the most to me in the fourth quarter. The process of life is unique for everybody, but I do think there are patterns of growth and maturity and awareness that you know, when y'all are talking about your young kids, I go, oh my gosh. Yeah. You're talking sleep deprivation.
Oh yeah.
Like no one has ever known and you're still functioning.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Maybe you did it again at 40 though. I mean, you were like, let's keep the party going.
I did it again.
So right as the light was coming in, you were like, let's double down.
What was that like? Because you're probably remembering so many things. I mean, just whenever, like, we get a time hop, you know, on our phones that's, like, you know, 5 years ago today, there are all these little things that my girls are 7 and 10. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that just in these short little years, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I completely forgot about that whole phase.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That must have been happening to you daily that you're like, oh, that's right. This kind of happens. Or was it just completely different?
Well, so what's unsustainable for the third quarter? And for me, it was my first marriage for all kinds of reasons. I'm so grateful for that time in my life. I, you know, Gary Chapman, he gave so much musically, all of his creative energy but all the things that were happening to us as people and the different things that were happening to us. Sometimes after a first marriage, people will say, well, the best thing about it was that you had your children. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, of course, that's a beautiful thing for both of us. But there are also good things all along in a marriage that winds up not being sustainable.
You don't have to throw the whole thing out.
No, no. And part of after that bike wreck, I was writing to remember and just trying to remember people's names. Are they dead or alive? You know, all this stuff. And it really made me, for reasons I never would have voted on, go back and try to remember all of my earlier life.
Wow.
But it's interesting to say, just to go, if part of the reason that the shape of my life turned out the way it did in those first 40 years was because of my family, because of who I was married to, because of, and I just think, and then also because of my wiring, it was, I just couldn't sustain that kind of what felt like a rich public life and a very poor interior life.
Coming out of something that's I think the thing that fascinates me so much about, coming out of a divorce, it would be one that obviously you're not with that person anymore, but it's, you also are not in that style of life anymore. It's not just that you're no longer with this person, but like, you know, you had rhythms there that you're just used to, mm-hmm. and then coming out of that. So did you, was that something that you were like, man, I really want to be with someone again? Or were you just like, man, I need a break? Or how did you process that season?
Well, this was messy because I met Vince when I was married to Gary.
Huh.
And so I had been invited to do a television show with him in filmed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it was right after my 33rd birthday. I had my bags packed. It was Thanksgiving weekend. It happened. I was headed to the airport and I was carrying my luggage. And Gary, we had been in marriage therapy. Mm-hmm. We were wired so differently. And I was walking out the door and he said, hey, don't fall in love with him.
Holy cow.
And I said, what? And he said, don't fall in love with him. I said, why would you even say such a thing? And he said, I've spent time with him and you're wired very similarly.
Mm. Wow.
And it's so interesting because when I have always worked with men.
Yeah.
I've worked long, crazy hours with men. I remember getting off a flight one time coming back from London, and the man with whom I was traveling, his wife met us, and she said, well, if he was ever going to have an affair, it was going to be with you, but I know he wouldn't because it's you.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And I mean, that is the world of music.
Yeah. Right, right.
And you are so respectful to other people. Anyway, so I've never actually said that in an interview about that, but it was interesting to, like, the loneliness in my marriage was very apparent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it was interesting because then I went, did I like, was that seed planted by me or was it planted by somebody else? Words are so powerful.
Yeah.
You know,
especially between spouses.
I know.
Those are like 20 times heavier.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so, and Vince and I wound up, we did hit it off, but I didn't really think anything about it, except I thought anything he's involved with, I'm going to go do that thing because he's just fun to be with. Mm-hmm. And when
you bought a set of golf clubs that day.
I bought a set of golf clubs the next month. I did.
That's really funny.
I bought a set of golf clubs the next month. And, yeah, and it was interesting because when I walked into that first rehearsal in Tulsa, I probably was trying to get a lay of the land, and I'm sort of, I don't have good vision in the dark, and I just remember kind of walking in. I guess my brow was knitted or something, mm-hmm. and Vince walked over, he put his arm around me, he said, hey, unknit that brow, it's okay.
Hmm.
It's okay.
Hmm.
And I remember looking at him, and I said, no one says that to me in my life.
Wow. Mm. Jeez Louise.
And so I did feel very responsible for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man. And so, yeah. And I think what happened there was I had great respect for him as an artist. I had great respect for his musicianship. And in that TV show, I said, hey, this is a waltz, and it's a beautiful thing that was, like, it's an orchestration done by mm-hmm. Ron Huff, but there's, like, a musical thing. So if you would just come out in a top hat and waltz with me during that instrumental break, that would help. That would sure kill that time. Well, unbeknownst to me, Vince does not dance. He's been in enough combo bands and watched the sorry-looking white guys dancing. Right. He would say, I would never dance. I love to dance.
Mm.
And later, after we got to know each other, I said, oh my gosh, like, you were so presenting. Because I turned around, wasn't expecting it. He comes out with a top hat and dances with me. It was on that TV show.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm thinking he's something totally different.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after we were married, and, you know, of course, and you remarry, and it's a totally new framework for both of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you're like going, nothing is familiar. And it's funny because Joy Williams married and she said, whew, this is a lot. It's like a blended family. Mm. We're trying to adjust to each other. And she said, so like, when is the honeymoon? And I said, take a deep breath.
Mm.
As soon as you have an empty nest.
Wow.
That's when you'll experience the honeymoon.
Wow.
Like in reverse. Yeah.
It's in reverse.
Yeah.
You are holding on for dear life,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to get to know somebody with an audience of people that you've known longer, your children, Jeez. And you care for deeply.
Gosh, yeah. I've never thought about that.
Well, oh, and all the interaction totally is so, I would have to imagine, is so charged. As a step-parent, which everything. We wanted to ask about.
Yep.
I mean, step-parenting is its own thing where I'm sure you feel like maybe you're walking on eggshells if you say, like, just a seemingly innocuous, like, hey, what time are you going to be home? They could be like, hey, you're not my mom, you know, whatever. What was all that like?
Yeah. A lot of it's hard to remember. I wanted to return to one thing because you asked me something specific, and that's why I got off on that. But, oh, and then as I'm getting to know Vince, first off, he's very funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he is a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. What a great way to explain your spouse. And she or he is a lot of things.
But years later, and went saying to him, I mean, so you came out and danced. I'm just thinking about how I projected so many things about you onto you because of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Specific behavior when I did not know you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what his response was? That was the bravest thing I ever did in my whole life.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
That was him like slaying the dragon.
Yeah, but we were both totally innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and it's interesting now because I had probably all of the residual self-recrimination that anybody has that's failed anything.
Mm-hmm.
And failing in a marriage doesn't happen in that last year. The seeds of it are there from the beginning. Yeah. But how something looks, anyway, all that. And then you marry, and then when the kids are not with you, somebody that's never been in that situation is like, woohoo, you know, here come the whips and chains. We're going to get down and get dirty. But really, when the kids aren't there, there's so much grief.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the whole side of what, and my feeling is nobody rides off in the sunset.
Mm.
Nobody. And the beautiful thing is that you, at a time when, I mean, for us, I knew we wound up having Karina because Vince had one daughter and I wanted to have a child with him.
Mm.
I wanted our relationship to not just be about our coupleship, but also to share family because I know how beautiful family is.
Yeah.
And
did y'all talk about that early on? Was that something that was kind of a conversation as y'all were like early in marriage?
I mean, we had her right as we had our first anniversary. Mm. So I guess,
yeah.
I don't know. There's so much we didn't talk about. And so,
Which, by the way, for anybody listening, Karina is a monster of talent. That woman, have you ever heard her music?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no, my gracious.
She's fun.
She's amazing.
And no one's having more fun than she is.
Golly Moses. Obviously with the two of y'all's parents, but it is like she got both of it. Like it is substantial, her talent. It is. She is.
And you talk about some pressure that
well,
girl
she is
has.
She is rising above.
Well, yeah. I don't think she incorporates this as pressure. She says, I have decided that I want to do music as my livelihood, and as long as I can pay the bills, it will have been a success.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so she might sing backup for somebody else. Mm-hmm. She'll probably always write.
She used to sing backup for Bill Gaither, I think. I saw that on Wikipedia.
Anyway, but I guess who we are is present. It's like once your kids are grown, you'll go, oh my gosh, that was present when you were in preschool.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And one time Karina had come home from Otter Creek preschool, so she was I guess 4 or 5, must have been 4, and she wanted to tell us about her day. And so she stood on, we had a big rectagonal coffee table, and she stood on the coffee table and she wanted to sing us her day.
That's when you knew.
And
oh,
she's singing her day
gosh.
With hand motions and everything. And I'm trying to maintain eye contact with her, you know. And then he was so mean and I went up to the slide, you know, she's just doing whatever. And anyway, and Vince has taken a cushion off the sofa and he's holding it in front of his face and laughing behind it. I mean, this lasted at least 15 minutes.
Good night.
Yeah. And like when she comes out on stage now, I go, she is still the same kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember even when we did, you had your fan club thing. This is, gosh, a decade ago, you know, out at your farm. And we were sitting up there and you're like, all right, I'm going to have Karina come sing some stuff. And I mean, she couldn't have been, gosh, what would that have been 10 years ago? She'd been 10? What is she now?
She's about to be 23. So
yeah,
she was just starting to write. She started writing in seventh grade.
There you go. And I remember her singing even then was like, oh, this isn't like, oh, my cute, sweet daughter sings. This is like, I remember I was like, I'm going to peel off and be like, hey, Karina, have you talked about publishing
right.
deals? I'm going to develop
a
deal.
I have a contract in my car.
Sign this napkin. I'll fill out the rest later. So one of the things that, you know, I was talking to Annie as I was getting ready for this, and I was like, what? So, you know, I'm sitting with Amy, and we both know you pretty well. And I said, what would be the things you'd want to ask her? And she said something that I thought was so true. And I wanted to talk about this at least for a second, but you know, I think of anyone in Nashville, you and Vince both are the most probably hospitable people that I know. And I want to qualify that by that's not just music. I mean, that's of any space that I know of people in Nashville and maybe that I know. You guys are so benevolent. You're so outward focused and facing with your life, which is so, I mean, for people who are listening, I had my 30th birthday party here in your backyard, which is still one of the most random, wonderful stories ever. Because, and me and Annie still laugh about this with friends, but I think Annie just texted and was like, hey, this is super random, but we live in this tiny duplex. Is there any way that we can just like use your backyard for Dave's 30th? And me being my personality, you know, there was going to be a lot of people there. And I just remember Annie was like, Amy said yes. And I was like, are you kidding? She's like, yeah. And she's just given us the keys to the kingdom. Like, just come over. Because you were out of town, I think.
I was so sorry I was missing the party.
But Vince was here. And I remember sweet Vince kind of just hung in here. And he was, you know, and we had the whole party. And it was so much fun. You had the volleyball net up. So it was great. But the coolest part of the night was as people kind of left, Vince started to kind of come out and sort of wave and say, hey. And we ended the night in the hot tub, like with four of us. It was like me and I think Wertz and maybe Annie and Vince. I think that literally was the night.
This is all new.
Oh, and it was so much fun. I mean, that was probably the most fun thing because it was just like we were all going to leave, but we had swimming suits because you're bathing because of the pool. And we had our bathing suits. And he was like, well, if y'all want to stick around, we were like, yeah, of course we're going to stick around. So, I mean, that and then, you know, just the millions of ways that you have been so kind to me in my career and singing on records and, you know, doing shows together. But it's substantial. It's more than like she's sweet and this is like her little nonprofit side hustle as a celebrity. You really live that way. It's really overwhelming. And I think I tell people all the time, I feel like you're like the queen of Nashville in so many ways because, but maybe the most that way, just that you're so benevolent and you're so kind. And I feel like so many times I ask you to do anything, you at least try to make it happen if you can. And that's such a fascinating thing to me. I think like, you know, the world would say, like, you don't have to be that way. Because it'd be like, look, you're this thing, and you have – if anybody has a right to be like, hey, I'm just – I can't. Like, I'll send you a signed CD. Like, you know, I cried in this napkin, and you can have the napkin and sell it on eBay. But, like, what is that? Like, what is that – it just fascinates me. And Annie and I both – in fact, I'll tell you how she worded it because I thought it was so great. She said, you know, I've never met someone that has impacted so many other people with their generosity. Where does that come from? Like, how did you become that person? What are the disciplines that you've adopted over time that have gotten you to that? It's just, it's so inspiring. Like, you are one of the most amazing people, I think, to me that way. Like, it's such a blessing. Like, the way you treat people is so overwhelmingly kind and thoughtful.
Okay. I feel like we're talking about somebody else.
Well, I think.
It's funny, I think about my parents, and they were very gentle. Mm. I don't have one memory of my mother ever screaming at me or my father, not one.
Wow.
Like, they never, I mean, they might have shouted at my three older sisters. Mm. Maybe they were just worn down by the time the fourth daughter came along. But they were not perfect people. Mm. but they were kind. And then this is another thing that has made that had an impact on me. So when I was my great grandfather started Life and Casualty down in Nashville.
Oh yeah,
insurance company, and he came to Nashville with a cow, you know, and from somewhere in Tennessee, and worked on this centennial, what became Centennial Park.
Oh wow!
And I think he worked for 50 cents a day.
Jeez.
And then wound up, he was had a lot of common sense, and he was a real respecter of people. And he said, people live differently when they feel secure.
Hmm.
And he thought that for somebody to, he wanted to create an insurance company that made people live with more security. He said, people live more generously when they're more secure.
Jeez. Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, so we grew up. That was one of the biggest businesses in Nashville. The backside of their farm, which is now Burton Hills, was Shies Hill Road.
Jeez.
Seven of those houses were my grandmother, cousins. And I knew that when the second to die of those two died, which was my great-grandmother, she died my junior year in college, I knew that that farm that we grew up in and loved was all being given to David Lipscomb College at the time. It's Lipscomb University now. And, you know, everybody grows up in a different lens, but with a different lens. But it's so funny because Vince will say to me, you scare me to death with money. And I said, it's because I feel like I'm just a channel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like I don't. And so I want to look, people say, you have a beautiful house. I go, Vince bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the way I was raised was if you see somebody in need, then you do for them.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that was just the environment into which I was born.
Yeah.
It's interesting to talk with my children now, because talking to one of my kids, and I've got five, and they're all grown. The youngest is a senior in high school.
You sounded sad when you said
senior in college.
Grown.
No, I just mean they're grown, so they're talking from an adult standpoint.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I was talking to one of my kids, and they said, "Hey, look, so glad you're giving this away and giving that away. So glad I'm living hand to mouth, hand to mouth."
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you know, the money I got in my Christmas stocking went to pay overhead.
Mm.
There's no. And they were really mad.
Hmm.
And they said, you do so much for me, but I just want you to know it's hard to celebrate. You can do anything you want. And I thought several things. I took a deep breath and I went, I needed to hear this.
Wow.
And then I said, the other thing is, if you do not learn how to live on what you can make, no amount of money will ever be enough.
Jeez.
And so... And that kind of,
man.
But I also thought to say, hey, whatever my impulse is to do with something that I have, I need to be careful how I talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the learning curve I think it gets steeper the older
curving.
We get.
Yes. Yeah.
It's always curving. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't know how I wound up the way I am. Mm. Everybody's unique.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Man, we nailed that.
I know.
It's almost scary how much we nailed that.
John, what comes to mind when I say high quality meals? Be honest. Be honest.
I'm always honest.
Don't pull lunches.
I would say something that's healthy.
Check.
A. B. Easy to make.
Check.
And D. Goes well with a well-designed latte.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yep.
You really have. You cornered the market on that, by the way. Listen, let's stop beating around the bush. Can
okay.
we just tell the people of Momville about ButcherBox?
Oh. You know, Mother's Day's coming up, Dave?
Yep.
How great would it be to make mom an incredible meal that will cost far less than taking the whole family out?
I will say there's an army of small people in my house who would love to make mom a meal, and ButcherBox couldn't make it any easier. They couldn't do it. They could try, but they wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, here's why. You get 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken. There's organic chickens just running as far as they want, having the best life. And get this, pork raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Can you believe that?
I don't want to see a single stinking crate within 100 yards of my sea bass. Do you hear me, John?
From your lips to God's ears, Dave. Okay, how do you feel about free 99, Dave?
Love it, and I cannot get enough.
All right, well, listen, you get free shipping. How's that? Okay, free.
Just the other night.
Yep.
I made some incredible chicken meatballs with Greek salad. It's what I do, and I don't want to be judged for that. And you know what? I think the free shipping actually made the food taste better. I can't prove that.
I 1,000% agree with you. There's just something about it, you know? But before we get back to Momville, we need to tell our listeners about the deal we lined up just for them.
Okay,
tell
let me
them,
just stretch my mouth a little bit before I say it, because it's a lot. Okay. Get free chicken thighs for a year and $20 off your first box when you sign up today. Did you hear me, John? I'm going to say it one more time. For a year.
That's 3 pounds of bone-in chicken thighs free in every box for a year. Plus, $20 off your first order when you sign up at butcherbox.com/dadville and use the code dadville.
Claim this deal at butcherbox.com/dadville and use the code dadville. Man,
Dave, I want to give a shout out. And when I give a shout out, I always laugh because it just brings me so much joy to give a shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with free samples.
You know it, John. This time of year, my allergies are in fuego. They're always on the attack, but I use this and you should too.
Oh, I do, Dave. Every day in our house. Yeah. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
Designed for serious allergy sufferers, which is, me raising my hand, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill to relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better.
This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
John, I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for a long time, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can go for a run without my eyes watering. I may be crying, but it's not from allergies.
Totally different.
And I can sing without feeling like I have like a big old, let's say we call it a frog. It's like a toad.
It's like a family of toads.
It's a family. It's a turtle.
Yeah.
In my throat.
So, you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies?
Yeah, me.
It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Well, you just said something, and it's so funny that you said that. Like, I can't believe the simpatico of this whole thing, because the next thing that Annie said was, she's like, I would love for you to ask her what her children's perspectives are on their benevolence, on how, which it's so crazy you brought that up, because I was like, that was literally like one of the three questions. So the thing that I was going to say is, you know, one, has that been, like, as you've learned about that and sort of how, again, how outward facing the both of y'all are, have you, is that becoming more of a conversation with your kids? Like, if you had to your point, like how you've kind of had to think about that differently. But the other thing that I'm so curious about, and I love asking this question on this podcast, is how have you navigated, kind of to that same point, how have you navigated being a parent who is successful? Like, how do you do that? Because that's, you know, when I mean, that's such a great example, even what you just said, that they would know, like, hey, we see how you are so kind and how you spend your money, and we also see how it's not coming to us all the time. But like, how have you navigated that over your career when you've done so well, when you've been so blessed with success in your career, and then you have, you know, like you said, you have these five kids that are full eye, you know, they're watching you and Vince, and how have you navigated that? What does that look like?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, to me, it must be like a pendulum swing. Mm. You know, I mean, I'm sure some things I have done well and some things I've done horrendously.
Yeah.
And that's all part of their journey.
Yeah.
And I think what I say as a mother now that I didn't know how to say as a mother when I was very young, and maybe it's more because I have adult children, and a lot of it because of the religious language that I grew up with, which, by the way, can be confusing. knowledge about God is not relationship with God.
Come on.
And so, and so many things about, it doesn't matter if somebody's churched or unchurched, whether they know the Bible or don't know the Bible, anybody can talk to God.
Mm. Amen.
Thank you and help are good conversation starters. And if it never goes past that, he's engaged. And he's engaged even when we're not talking about it.
Yeah, that's the truth, yeah.
And so, but I think what I didn't know to say to my children, because I didn't know how to say it to my younger self, because I was engaged in a community that became successful before I knew, I just look at all my kids and I say, first and foremost, you belong to yourself. Mm. Nobody has the impulses that, or the inner voice or how they're wired, all those things. And if and when you get married, it's like you're swimming a swim lane right beside your partner, but he can't swim your lane for you. You can't swim your lane for him. Or whoever your partner winds up being. You can't, I mean, you still have to put on your bathing suit. You got to stick your toe in that freezing cold water. You got to push off the edge and kick and splash and half drown and get to the other side and then come back and do it over and over. And you'll get better at it the more you do it. And it won't seem like controlled drowning. It'll actually seem, oh, this is smooth swimming.
Controlled drowning.
Yeah. But it's interesting to grow up with a lot of Bible language before you understand life, any of life.
Wow.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, terms like I don't belong to myself. I belong to God. I'm not my own. And you go, well, the only other person that can occupy really inside this skin is the Spirit of God. It's me and him, whether I actively invite him in or not. And this goes back to the jersey and like being a believer to go, I don't, to function as a believer in society. I mean, I'm sure some days I do a good job, some days I don't.
Yeah.
And so I think what our, I always just go, if there were no language, live a life that speaks for what you believe and what place love has had in your life. Yeah, and that mantra, if there were no word, if there were no, were no language. And so, but I think to tell a child, I don't think, I don't know if middle schools, I think it needs to be an older child when they're, I don't know. But to say, yeah, even a teenager, you belong to yourself because you will make choices that no one else will know about. And the ramifications for those choices, good and bad, you will experience as a human being. The power of your choice is, it's big. It will shape your life and how you respond to things. And you know, nobody is supposed to be the same. And I think when we look at each other, I don't know, I'm so glad to have adult children now. And I'm sure they all would be fine with me saying this, but for the last year, the biggest gift we have given ourselves, or that, that Vince and I have given our family, is therapy.
Wow.
And so, you know, and this last Christmas, I was like, hey, my bandwidth, I don't have quite the bandwidth to do Christmas like I have done it in the past. And I'm working really hard for the first time since this summer. And just if money were no object, say one, two, or three things that you would like for me to, I would just love for you to open something on Christmas. And more than a few of the kids said, continue therapy.
No way.
Yep.
Now, when you say therapy, do you mean with the family or you and Vince or,
no,
or just you?
Just their own. To go to a therapist.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
To go to a therapist. And I was invited to go to a therapy session with one of, with two of my daughters.
Wow.
At different times. Yeah.
What is that like?
Yeah, were you terrified going in?
No. I mean, we're all just trying to figure out life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's not really, there's so many things about our lives that happen to us when we're young. And you, it sometimes it takes a few decades before you even have the emotional vocabulary to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
And so for dealing with being part of a broken home, also a public family, and just all kinds of things. Good things, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so last night, three of the kids, three of the five, and their significant others and children were applicable. We all, and Vince was out of town, but I flew in from LA, cooked a quick dinner. They came, and I wanted to talk about something specific. And that led to everybody kind of saying, I don't even know how to say it. Doesn't even matter, but we, I think because of all of our therapy, we are trying to, like, you don't have to agree with somebody to listen respectfully. And I just see us all like, okay. And my, I want our family to do some kind of project together. And I told them, I said, I know this is so fourth quarter. I know that you are all second quarter. You're not thinking this way, but I look at you, you're all creative. You're smart. You have very different perspectives. You have different gifts. And I would love our decision as a family over something that is bigger than us. Yeah. I would love to experience our skill set and not as we grow up and grow into our own lives to say the big decision is, do we want to go on a ski trip or to the beach? That's right. Like, are you kidding me?
Right.
I mean, you really get to know people when you are engaged with them for a bigger purpose. And I think without already a year of therapy under our belts, I don't think we could have done that. But it was interesting because when my, all this came from one of the people at the table, one of my daughters said, when you first had that bike wreck, I felt like I could hear your inner monologue because I had a head injury. And she said, you were saying all the things that were right and all the things that were wrong. I have not a memory of that. And she said, well, now you've healed and you're like Superwoman again. And I said, well, I was never Superwoman, but I want this conversation. You know, and I don't say all the things that are wrong because I'm old enough of, I'm old enough to know our words are like lightsabers. You don't say to somebody walking out the door, be careful of such and such. You don't say, you know, I do control what I speak, but it's not because I'm trying to be a goody two-shoes. It's because I...
Wisdom.
You go, this could change the course of history. If you plant
Your
an
words matter.
Words matter. And then all of it, it's just like, oh my gosh. It's all I can do just to live my own life, but I'm trying to intentionally cheer on my kids and hear what they want to do. And if this thing that I want us to all do together doesn't work out, they know we're going to try to figure something else out. But like to be engaged in conversation with them, Karina's still in her early 20s, but 30s, three of them in their 30s and one 40 and their significant others. And I was just so funny last night going, okay, we've never been in a conversation like this. We have never. And I said, I feel like all we've done is just like touch the tip of the iceberg. Like, are we, do we want to know each other? And so the truth is, I don't know what they think about me, but I think they feel much freer to say whatever it is now.
That's the thing. I mean, we talk about this a lot, just, I mean, off podcast, like when John and I spend time together, but just that idea that, like, what is that going to be like? And I pray so much they do. And I pray even more that I, and I know, John, you feel this way, that we can be a place where they can come do that. As mad
as they
are.
Just coming is a win.
Like what you had last
Them
night.
Even bringing anything as adults when my girls come to Amy and I and say, hey, we want to talk about what X or whatever. And Amy and I always just say, like, it's, we just got to prepare ourselves. We want to be open to that. And we don't want to be resistant, but it's going to be the thing that we felt like we nailed.
That's what
you
know? That's
that you didn't nail.
It's just going to be like, you know, every day I go to bed and I'm like, well, that there's our therapy session in 2040 is going to be about bedtime tonight when I couldn't take it. But it's going to be the thing. They're going to be like, you just never jumped on the trampoline with us. And I'm going to be like, I was always on that trampoline. You know, it's just going to, it's going to be blindsiding, whatever
it is. Do you feel that, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, exactly what John said. It's just like, Are y'all having those conversations where, or have you had those conversations with your grown children? And that's really what's so fun asking you about is because mm-hmm. that's the season of life you're in and we're just so far from, is where they're sitting down, they're going, hey, do you kind of remember when this happened? And that was tough. And I get so nervous because one, exactly what John said, either I'm going to be like, see, you're misremembering that, honey, because I yeah. stuck the landing on that one. And I remember we went to bed that night, and Vince and I high-fived. And
I have a journal entry never, yeah. to like, prove
we'll
it.
Have the VHS yeah. to show you. You
swim
know,
your own lane, Dave Barnes.
yeah. I just heard the voice of the Lord come through your mouth. But, like, you know, are you having those things where you're sitting and you're going, wow, like, here we are navigating things that either I forgot about or I actually, gosh, sitting here now, I remember that. And it's amazing that you're bringing it back up. I mean, that's the stuff that I'm like, are y'all having those
yeah,
times?
And also someone's, how somebody chooses to spend therapy time is really about, I don't know what it's about.
Yeah.
It's whatever, I mean, it's how they are navigating their own life. Mm-hmm. And so to assume that their therapy sessions are about me
right, right.
is silly.
Right.
Yeah.
Until I'm asked to come in
yeah, yeah,
to a
yeah.
session.
Yeah. yeah.
And I'll go, okay. And early on, and I think it's because I was raised by parents. My mother said this. And now I'm going to struggle to remember exactly what she said. But I remember, I just remember the attitude of her approach was, I'm doing my best, but I'm sure I'm letting you down.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and what I have said to my kids, grown in this year of therapy, and now going on, we are just beginning the second year of therapy, is, hey, I know you hear people say nice things about me all the time, but it's the, just rake me over the coals, whatever yeah. you need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever you need to do, just figure out your life. And
right.
Which, I mean, I can't tell you. I pray, Jesus, let this be the truth, but that is the spirit we can have. I can't imagine mm-hmm. a better, as a child of my parents who thankfully have had that posture in seasons where I've mm-hmm. had to go like, hey, like they haven't been, you know, arms crossed, like, you know how ungrateful you are and how dare you, you know how hard I was trying. Like they really have been for the most part gracious and said like, okay. And I'm like, as a child, there's nothing more you can ask for than to have a parent that's like, humble enough
to say, tell me what it is.
Yes.
Tell me how I failed so that I can say I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah. yeah.
That's an amazing posture to yeah. have as a parent.
And it's really the only posture to have if you want to then continue having a real
yeah, a relationship.
Relationship.
That's right.
Like you're describing, you guys are, you know, you felt like you were just scratching the surface until you're now starting to get deeper into relationship with this new language. Via therapy and all that.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's interesting because I grew up in a family that always gathered. And so, you know, we're always gathering for holidays and all that. And then when I went into therapy as a happily married mm-hmm. woman, as a 60-year-old, I went, oh, so I had four human beings enter their experience on earth through my womb. That's no guarantee that they will choose each other for friends. That's no, I mean, I can, you know, so I started doing things differently, saying, hey, I'm cooking tonight. Come if you want. Or if you're busy, I've got some to-go things and just feel free to stop by and get food. And, you know, so much of our rub with each other is that we're not meeting each other's expectations. And so many times, especially in marriage, we get so frustrated because we keep looking for the things we want to find in our partner.
Right, yeah.
And some of those things might not have ever been there. They just might have been our projections or our hopes, or we saw them in our parents. And it's like, golly, when will I learn when I stop spending so much energy looking for something I'm never going to find.
Yeah.
It's
right.
not there.
Right.
All of a sudden, you're not focused on that thing that won't appear.
Yeah.
And you just kind of relax and stare off into nothing and you go, oh my gosh, there's so much that's actually here that I have not been able to see because I have just been so focused on this thing that I thought I wanted to be there. Yeah, and it's just like, so my, we should write this song. Once you stop looking for the thing that you're never going to find, you'll find everything else.
Yeah. That has got to be, I would imagine, the hardest when it comes to empty nest time. You know, like I feel like when my girls leave the house, that's when what you're describing is going to be so hard for me. Sending the text that's like, hey, you know, mom and I are cooking tonight. You guys can stop by if you want. And not just being like, please, where's the bubble? Where are they going to come? Like, yeah. I need them, you know? Yeah. Was the empty nest time, did you have expectations on that? Did it go the way you thought it would? Was it harder than you thought it would be?
Well, our actual real empty nest happened with COVID.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
And so Karina came back. And I do think there is, you know, once again, I'd never lived just with Vince.
Right.
Like we were not newlyweds alone.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And so all things being kind of backwards, I don't know how to
say that. So there's multiple new things happening.
I think that, I just think life is always the big cycle of dreaming and investing in that dream and then realizing that dream and then the dream comes to fruition and then you grieve the loss of that thing because it's everything in life is that.
Man.
And so that it can be something as small as, you know, something that you looked forward to 1 week. It can be becoming a mom or becoming a father. But that cycle of dreaming, investing, the realization of, and then the everything comes to an end.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, and just to recognize that as a, that's part of the, a pattern of life.
What a beautiful way to say that. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking my brain is just a million miles a minute trying to realize how true that is. And I do think that's like third, that's where, you know, that third season of life, that third quarter of life where you can start to understand, hold that dual thing, which is like, you can dream, but grief comes with dreaming because everything is finite on this side of heaven, right?
Yeah.
And I think like not just having rose-colored glasses that go like everything is always great and kids are and then – but no, there's going to be baked into our human experience is just a lot of grief. It just is. And then how do you process that and sort of equip yourself as best you can to know – because it's so funny because even in our world of music, like you work so hard on a record, you know, it's so fun, you write for it. And then you're in the studio with everybody and you're making it. And then you go play some shows around it and then it's gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. And that to me, all of that, there is, as there should be, you grieve the ending of that hang in the studio.
Yeah.
The And so part of it is just being very, one of the things, one of the fourth quarter things you realize is that the resource of time looks different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so last night I found myself saying, how much time do I spend disconnected from myself?
Wow.
Like, you know, looking for some kind of pleasure, whether that's another glass of wine, which I have not had anything, I don't drink since the head injury, but another glass of wine or a snack late at night or surfing the, you know, all those things are like they're substitute pleasures. It's not real connection. And real connection, sometimes when you're married, you don't have enough energy to, you know, hey, babe, you interested in tonight? You know, whatever, what, whatever your protocol is for connecting with the person in bed with you. But even just to connect with yourself.
Yeah.
And the spirit that lives in you and the spirit of love that, you know, it's so funny to go, I don't, wow, like there is an aliveness that I took for granted even when it was even in the downtime. Yeah. Like, I think we all live with a lot of disconnectedness from ourselves.
Oh, for sure. And more. I mean, there's every device that I own is connected to the internet.
Yeah, you know?
There's a million distractions.
I need to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
Well,
we have a quiet moment.
But all that to say, when you anticipate something, even if it's great and it was a success, eventually it's over.
Yeah.
When you're madly in love with somebody, thank God there's an ending to lovemaking or we'd all die of a heart attack.
Well, and part of it, too, is just the anticipation of everything. You get addicted to the not yet of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then when something has come and gone, and it might have been your third grader's play that they were so excited about. And then, you know, if I could go back, I would tuck that third grader in bed and say, tell me how amazing that feeling was. It's okay to be a little bit sad that that's over.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
It's okay. And that feeling is a part of you.
Yeah.
And just you can return to that feeling and remember that. And that is part of your life journey.
Yeah,
nobody can ever take that away from you. But, you know, it all kind of layers in there. And then there's so many fibers and so many layers. We truly probably don't remember much of any of it. But
I know that we are wrapping up. But before we ask our last two questions that we always ask, I selfishly just want to know. Because Dave and I are in the same sort of, you know, like our kids are all stair-stepped from 7 to 11 or so. What advice do you have for parents in our phase of life? Like what if you could like go back to Amy Grant when your kids were 7, 8, 9, 10, in that elementary age, what would you say to yourself if you could appear for like 1 minute and say something?
I hope whatever comes off the top of my head is worth saying.
Well, just sing it, and then no matter what you say,
Karina,
it'll be worth it.
Let's get her in.
Well, I think at any age, the best thing that you can give anybody is your presence.
Man.
Like fully engaged.
That is tough for me.
Yeah, it's tough for all of us. And I also, I would have, whatever I said to my kids, I would have said it in 2 minutes instead of 14.
That's a good word. That is a very good word.
That is.
That I can feel that coming so, because we're not, I mean, I'm getting, with Ben being 11, I'm already like, I can just feel myself taking these big breaths of like, well, let me tell you.
Listen, like, as I pontificate. Here's the introduction.
Yes. Yeah.
Now here's the foreword.
Chapter
one.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's such a good word. God, that's a good word. That I'm going to remember that.
Yeah.
Man, the temptation. I mean, there are a few things, I think, in the human existence that are harder not to do than when your child has a teaching moment and you see it, they see it, and you're standing there. It's just like you're taking the big breaths. You're going, this is it.
You're like, I can already hear the future podcast that they're on.
That they're like.
Where they quote what I'm about to say.
Oh, my gosh. That draw is just the most powerful magnet in the world toward, like, I've been practicing for this. Sit down, son.
My wife knows the look on my face, and she just immediately is just like takes the other one out.
That's
of the
I mean that if there's a million ways that Annie is a grace to my life, but one of them, and really near the top, is her ability to be, you gotta shut this off, man. Like she's been like too long.
Have like seven words, and then they don't hear the eighth.
Wrap it up, pops. Yeah. Just wrap that whole thing up.
That's great.
All right, John, you start.
Oh, I'm starting this
time.
You're going first.
You're going first.
Dave normally asks the first of the last two questions. Okay, we always ask these last two questions. First one is, what is the one thing you want your kids to know?
Oh, man. The one thing I want my kids to know. Can it be a really long sentence?
Oh, go. This is your, it's your podcast, girl.
Okay. Well, there's so many things that come to mind. But for them, the one thing I would want them to know is they're really put together, every one of them, like nobody else. They're unique, and so it's going to be important to not follow anybody else's rule book explicitly. And in order to unlock the deepest mysteries about what might make them the happiest and the most fulfilled using all their gifts and talents. Nobody is going to see that puzzle like the one who made them. And so, yeah, so I guess I would just say, I want them to know, yeah, I don't know how else to say it. And they are wildly, creatively loved. And, yeah, whether they do anything right, whether they do everything wrong, that's where being raised with a lot of religious language can be confusing. Because I'm not even sure where all that was going, except for you feel like, oh, we ask for an awful lot of falling in line. We ask, we demand a lot of sameness of each other. In especially in communities where we feel like we're representing the work of God or the work of Jesus. And I kind of wish we would say, can we just say a big disclaimer all the way across the top that we are all a mess. We are all a mess. God is good and he's faithful and we are all a mess.
You know, it's so funny. First of all, it's so beautiful, but something that has been so powerful to me the last couple of weeks, we've been going through Ephesians and our, Annie and I help lead like the young adults at our church, and the guy's been teaching has just done such a good job. But I was thinking, like, it's so funny when how this isn't talked about, right? It's exactly what you're saying. That when Paul is telling all of the Jews, like, hey, it's open to the Gentiles now, right? That's a massive deal. A massive deal. These are wildly different people. Maybe the opposite of Jews, right? And that he's kind of like, and they don't really need to do anything, everybody. Like, Jesus just kind of like, come as you are. We're going to figure this out together. They're in the kingdom now. There's not this, like, I mean, you know, you look at all the things Paul rebukes. It's like, they don't have to be searched. Like, and I, the first time in my 44-year-old life, I was sitting at Sunday school and I went, whoa, God, that's pretty intense. That it doesn't come with a bunch of rules. It's just sort of like, hey, I'm bringing them in. There are things they need to do because, you know, it's going to be good for them, but not like you think. And I was like, he started the whole thing off by going, we're just bringing the crazy cousins in and let's just have a big party because everybody's here now. And I was like, isn't that a beautiful picture?
Yeah.
You know, of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Not that he was like, he does the opposite of what every Jew was hoping he would say. It's like, well, then tell him the rules. And he's like, no.
Right, right.
Take out the knife.
Yeah,
let's zipper's get, going down.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I thought, and so much so that he goes later on to say, like, I've become everything to everyone so that they can, you know, he's not going in going, boom, this is the deal. Like, the old is here and this is how it works. You know? I thought that was so beautiful. I was like, what a cool picture.
Yeah. Well, you brought it up throughout our conversation several times, that idea of you really wanting your kids to celebrate and like relax into who they are, who they actually are, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is really beautiful.
It is.
And it is. Like you're saying, it is a little tricky, especially I'm sure in all religious circles, but in the Christian world that the three of us are steeped in, there's a little bit of a like, what? You know?
Right.
But I love that you have said that.
Well, it's interesting because none of us really, really know somebody else. We spend most of our life kind of getting to know our spouse. Mm-hmm. But even then, there's so much that's still mysterious about them.
Yeah.
Well, and it's always changing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so
true.
It's like right when you got your nail, they're like, hey, guess what I'm into now? You're like, oh, okay, touche.
Yeah.
Which I can't imagine how much that's true, especially as an empty nest. Because all of a sudden you have time to really...
Right.
Iterate.
Life is dynamic. People are dynamic. They are. Yeah. Situations are dynamic. The worst situation has hidden gifts. Mm-hmm. The worst trauma, you also see an opportunity for the beauty of humanity. The best thing happening to your child, oh my gosh, they won the lead part in the high school play, comes with a hard side.
Wow.
You know, I mean, every good, that's just the way it all, everything is that way.
Yeah.
Everything is, you know, the whole spectrum. And, but to me, if we can just whet each other's curiosity to know God.
Yeah.
Because however we behave, there is clearly a payoff physically for eating well and exercising. There's a payoff. You feel better. It doesn't matter how old you are, how out of shape. A body will respond. You go, this is miraculous. Mm-hmm. Bodies respond to get good input. And I just think that kind of thing is true on every level.
Yeah.
Behavior, whatever, you know, all those things eventually, I don't, just whatever it is, you kind of go, how's this working out?
Mm-hmm.
How's this, you know, and yeah, so I guess maybe we have to, you just have to trust if something's looking really ragged for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Ragged.
Yeah.
I like that phrase.
And, you know, maybe it'll come back around. But
yeah,
even then, Earth was never supposed to be perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, second question.
Yeah.
Years and years from now, Amy. Maybe millennia.
You're in your sixth quarter.
What do you want your kids to say at your funeral?
What do I want them to say at my funeral? Of course, I'm just thinking they're all so different. I would, and I'm in this learning curve. But, oh my gosh, if they all stood up and said, I felt loved by this person.
Yeah, that's good.
That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, it sounds like they will.
I agree.
Huh?
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you a million times for coming on.
Yes.
I mean, I hope you know this, but I really think you're one of those best people I know. So it means a lot. You let us invade your home, especially people don't know this, but you're just on the Today Show like minutes before we did this interview. So,
and we saw one of our Dadville alum, Greg Melvin.
That's right.
We got to meet walking him through your house.
That's right.
But thank you so much for coming on.
This was so great. I'm so honored.
Yeah.
And thank you for making me a coffee.
You're so welcome. Yeah. And hey, yay that you get to do a job you love in great company.
Amen to that.
Oh my gosh. I know.
We have a lot of things bubbling below the surface. People don't know about me and John. We fight a lot. And even now, there's a lot of turf wars that go on.
Yeah.
But we put on
That's
a good
face. That's why we sat you between us.
Otherwise, it would be there'd be a physical alteration.
Alteration.
Oh, altercation.
Altercation.
Both,
so
actually.
Close. Both.
It could have been a face alteration.